sometime today. Are y'all ready? I think I lost you guys again, but it's all right. It's all right. I know how to help myself. I do. Normally at this point right here, we would probably do tithes and offering. For some of y'all that like to skate out of here before it's time, make sure you get your envelope. The blessing is for you guys. That's what it's for. And what I want to share with you today is something that I believe that God has placed in my heart concerning the church today. The church as a whole. Some of y'all are kind of licking your lips like those donuts back there look like they're nice and ready for us, Pastor. Well, you'll get your donut in the end. We're going to fellowship together at the end. Amen. It's good to see some faces in here as we get the children released to the back. Children, I just want to say thank you. Thank you. And some of us adults have the faith as a child. We can move some mountains. Ooh, we can move some mountains. My. Is that it? That everybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, if you would, I want you to just give me a little bit of attention before I get started on the message. I want to share with you. I spoke to John Woods and Daniel. They're out there in Brooklyn, New York, doing basically really a mission. They got invited to go to New York. They've been out there. They're in Brooklyn in the barrios of New York. When they arrived there, I spoke to him last night, right about midnight after their service. Things have been happening. There's been all kinds of spiritual attack. Things that I've been prophesying to him specifically was going to happen in each service has happened. Yesterday, before they went on to their service last night, they were transitioning from one service that he happened to be invited just to pop in and say hello. Glory got hit again and began to just tear some people up in the prophetic, but then release in the atmosphere that things have changed in the city. He's traveling with another prophet that's there. I'm talking to John. He says, hold on a second. I want you to meet this brother on the phone. So he gives the phone to this prophet, puts him on the phone. He says, how you doing? I said, oh, Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost. I begin to prophesy with this prophet concerning his child, concerning the transition out of Florida to New York, the timing, the date, and the season that he transitions, how long he's been there and how long that God is going to continually challenge him in that area. God began to speak to him. He said, Lord, we need to get you over here to New York. Something's happening. I said, look, man, all I know this is that when you see John, you see me, you see me, you see John. Why? Because we're doing the Father's business. And when you see the two gentlemen that are there, they've been sent by God. They've been sent apostolically to go do the work of the kingdom. He says, we're seeing so many crazy things happening over here, Pastor. He says, I just know that God's about to do a work like never before. And this is still that prophet I'm talking to. He got John and Daniel on the radio that transferred all of everything that they said all the way to the Caribbean islands, all of New York, some in South America. That's just one man. He goes to the service last night. Last night he begins to prophesy and starts tearing up the church. Looks over at a young man that is standing there in the building and tells him, he says, I see letters, blocked letters. And then they're just coming at you. But then you disperse it out. But I see blocked letters coming to you and you're dispersing it out. And then he goes into a personal prophecy concerning him and his wife. Everybody gets quiet because they know who this man is. But, of course, John doesn't know who anybody is over there. That man happens to be, he has his own publication and newspaper, and he sends it out all over New York, and he sends it even to the Caribbean islands. Again, the Caribbean islands comes up again. I don't know if you remember the second service when we were in here, Katrina. Remember that? Second service. And that's when God began to speak to him that it's going to be on an island. On an island. Things are about to take place. So much more of confirmation that has been spoken concerning these meetings that are taking place over there are actually happening very, very quickly. Very quickly. He says that today is a day that they were going to go in and have service in two different churches. He says, one thing's for sure. He says, we're in the barrios and they're not giving. So we sent them a gift. we Western Union them some money. Guys, if God's put something on your heart to give, give it. We'll make sure they get it. They're already asking them to stay another week. In that same meeting, prophesying to that young man concerning the publications, there's another person that is a radio personality in that area that everybody knows. John prophesies to him. He says, I want to get you on the radio. I want to get you on the radio tomorrow, which is today. And John said, can we do that from my bedroom? Can I just call in? I'm tired. And some of y'all don't know John, or some of y'all have gotten to know John. When John's tired, he's tired. When he's hungry, right? And watch this. As he's ministering at the pulpit, the woman of God standing in the audience realizes that's the word of the Lord. She leaves the sanctuary, goes outside and gets a handful of fruit and vegetables and comes into the very pulpit and gives him some food as he's ministering. Y'all got to know John for this one. John 8. And then continues on with the service. What happened was, is that woman got the word of the Lord and understood when you feed a prophet. Every church and every service they've been to, they said, you two have been sent by God. There's some things that are stirring up over there like crazy. Two different radio stations. Now watch this. Television was offered to them as well. And they know they're from San Antonio. They know that. So they said, we're going to send you all the information that you need, and we're going to make sure that you get whatever needs to get done and sent to us. Just send it from San Antonio. Whether it's your pastor, whether it's your prophet, whether it's an evangelist, you send what you want because y'all have the word of the Lord. They ain't catch it. They ain't catch it. They ain't catch it. How can you impact? Hey, how can you impact another city lest you be sent? Here's what the Bible says. Power of the gospel comes by being sent. Sent. One of the second services, you know, Katrina mentioned it on Wednesday night. After everybody leaves and then there's a remnant here that sticks around because they know it's not done and they stick around. The donuts in their hand, they don't know whether to eat because somebody's about to prophesy. They're just like this. And then all of a sudden God begins to speak. They put that thing down. And antennas go up. One of the things that was prophesied was that you're going to step into your apostleship. We're going to be an apostle. An apostle is a father that sends, equips, raises up, and sends out. We had our iron sharpens iron yesterday. And one of the discussions that we had was, you know, God called some prophets, some apostles, some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists. And we began to talk about, well, what is your gifts that are within you? And I understand prophet, I understand pastor, I understand evangelist. But I never wanted to really understand the apostleship. Because I've been under those types of ministries where they just control. I said, God, I want a heart of an apostle with the heart of a shepherd with the mandate of a prophet. And if that's what you're going to do, then I'm going to submit to it. When we get on the phone with John in the iron sharpens iron, he begins to talk about everything about being sent and how God is raising up the apostles right now. Oh, there's some good things happening. There's some good things happening. Oh, good things. I don't know if y'all noticed the basket that was in the back there. I know everybody came in like, wow, what's that, man? They went from the little chest. They went to a big old basket. They're taking up a lot of offerings. Without putting Cherie on the spot. Miss Cherie, can you just stand up real quick? Miss Cherie, okay. I said real quick. Okay, that's Cherie. Miss Cherie is in charge of an outreach that's getting ready to take place here in San Antonio, that the House of Manna, in conjunction with other ministries and churches, are hosting this particular outreach in San Antonio. It'll be September 13th on a Saturday. We're going to get confirmation on the location. And what we're going to do is we're going to feed for free hamburgers, hot dogs, and sausage to the, hopefully we get this place, prayerfully we get it. It's the Valero place, park. Valero Field. That's owned by the San Antonio Housing Authority. And there's many homeless, prostitutes, pimps, drug addicts, and all that in that area. And what we're going to do is in that basket, we're going to take up donations of toiletries. But before we begin, we're going to get a list from Cherie. We're also going to meet on Tuesday evening with a group of ministries that are doing outreach, and we're going to talk about ours. We'll solidify all the actual details so that we can begin to take up donations here. We'll put together bags that we'll hand out to these individuals out there at this outreach, and they'll have socks, toiletries, and what is necessary for them. Okay? But everything that we're going to do with love. Not judgment. Not because the house and manna is doing. No, we're going to do it because we're doing for the kingdom. Amen? So there's some things that are happening. There's some things that are in place. We got a letter that was stuck in the door when we came to clean the church. And you can see that there's fingerprints on the doors that you can, you know, if you want to cup like that, like trying to look in. They can't see past that wall. Like, is it a church? What is it? Is it a Chinese restaurant? I don't know. But it's an invitation for us to partner up with other ministries as well, with Worship Mob. Some of y'all may not know, but it's huge. It's all over the United States. You know, when you just kind of say yes. Yeah, y'all missed it. It's some of y'all that know Worship Mob, this is huge. This is huge. We didn't ask for nothing. Matter of fact, even this outreach, we didn't ask for nothing. It just came. Why? Because we said yes. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you one more again. Are you ready? That's how I like it. Jesus is good
all the time.
They don't miss that one. Jesus, baby. All right, get your Bibles if you would. Get your Bibles. Get your sword. I know I'm going to get you out of here pretty quick. I guarantee you're going to have your coffee, your donuts, your juice, and you're going to come out of here flying higher than a kite. And it'll all be legal. It's all right. It's good. It's good. All right. Mary and Martha. Which one are you? Everybody quick. I'm Mary. You know I have a way of doing things. By the end of this, you're going to... Pastor, can I get back with you on that question? Here, watch this. I'm going to go into a little bit of teaching. I was going to put on my earpiece. I said, no, then I won't be able to get into a little, you know, the flow. So I said, all right, let's try to go back to my PowerPoint for a little bit. We're going to try it. We're going to try it, Josh. Are y'all there, Mary and Martha, at Luke 10:38, please? Luke 10:38. Oh, real quick, as you're finding that, the name of the tour is Epidemic. The Epidemic. And it's not a misspelling, okay? And I'm going to have the acronym spelled out for you. We're also going to have the trailer from the individual that is part of this. What's his name? Seven. Seven is his name. Seven. Seven. Gotcha. All right. So questions of what we're going to do, please see Sister Cherie. There's others that are going to get involved. We're going to get some of you guys involved as well. Don't. It's not just a one-man show. It's good to see you, Eric. Good to see you, Carl. Good to see you, girls. All right. Watch this. Take a note of this right here. What's that? What does that say right there? Baptism. August 17th. Here. If y'all haven't been a part of a baptism in the sanctuary, Lord. No, you got to bring extra towels. Sometimes people just come in with their clothes and all. So, August 17th. If you would, please see Minister Bai in the back. Minister Bai, will you stand, please? Mira, por favor. Ándale, sí, thank you. That's Minister Baya back there. Everybody say, hi, Minister Baya. All right, see Minister Baya to get registered. Get registered. Get signed up for the baptism on when? August 17. What time? 12 noon. Pastor, going to be done at 12? No, I'm going to start at 12 noon, and we'll see where it ends. Last time, we just went all off. It was nuts in a good way. All right? Amen. Amen. Here we is. All right. I want you, if you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke 10:38, and we'll end at verse 42. I began reading out the NIV version, and it reads in this wise. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Verse 41. Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it challenges us, it encourages us, it uplifts us. And Father, it'll even rebuke us because it's love. But Father, I just thank you that your spirit of the living God that is here with us today. I thank you for the spirit of counsel, and I thank you for the spirit that guides us in all truth, Father. Now let your spirit speak through me, Holy Spirit. Not my words, but the words of the Holy Spirit to begin to speak into the atmosphere of this sanctuary. And Father, let the hearts and the minds of the spirit of those in the sanctuary be pliable to your word. And whatever is fallow, Lord, break it up. Break it up, God, to receive your word and receive the revelation, knowledge, and the illumination of your word. Father, I just thank you right now that you have your way as this service is yours, not mine, but yours. You have your very way in this sanctuary, Lord. We thank you. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah. I want to begin with sharing something with you. We all know the story, do we not? We know the story? Do we know the story? This is Mary and Martha. But do you know 4x4? Huh? Can y'all read that? Should I turn off the front lights? Can we read it? All right. For those of you listening on the podcast, I'm going to share with the congregation and those that are listening is that we all have four F's in our life, which is fans, foes, friends, and family. I will title this message as We Are Framily. Are we not framily? You know how Sprint has it. We're framily. We're framily. I mean, you got that. Well, I'm not going to promote Sprint. I'm just trying to say, you heard all of a sudden there's a play on words, but it makes sense. Because you're not going to just let anybody get up on a cell phone bill. Maybe some of y'all will, if it had been Cricket or Pocket. But on Sprint, wait a minute. This ain't none of the second rate kind of stuff. This is Sprint. Only friends and family can be a part. And I love how they do these commercials. Have you seen it? Have y'all seen it? How these commercials now, they have family that is there, but then amongst the family, they have friends that are like, hey. But then here's the one thing that they do say that kind of makes everybody say, hey, I want to be a part of that. They pay their own bill. Someone's light bulb went off. Ding. Did it not? Oh, you can come on to their plan, but we're going to get you for 2 years. And you pay your own bill. Or you're going to pay your own way. But we got you. We got you in the circle with us. Whether you're a friend, whether you're a foe, whether you're family. But what about a fan? I ain't talking about the one like this in church. I'm talking about the fan. Someone that says, I'm with you when you're good. I'm with you when you're winning. Because most of the time, the fans in your life are the ones that are with you when things are going good. You're on the up and up. Things are going real good. And say, hey, you know what? If something's happening with you, I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to follow you. You know how we have fans? Fans that read your Facebook and fans that follow you on Twitter. Fans that have Instagram to follow you and want to know everything about you. You know fans. Kind of the same thing as friends. They, you know, like that commercial with the ladies that are sitting there. And this is my picture. I pasted on my wall. And then she said, I'm going to unfriend you. And she said, that's not how it works. That's how none of it, it don't work this way. You ever seen that commercial? I'm going to unfriend you. But watch what has happened. We have fans that will follow you, like, you know, Cowboys at, back in the day, Starbuck, Roger Staubach. Some of y'all don't know who he is. Y'all know who Staubach is? Roger Staubach. Yeah, the, Roger, the Dodger Staubach. Because, you know, Roger Staubach was the time when we had a winning team. We had some real players back then. Y'all know that? It's when we had real football being played. Do I need to get off the Cowboy? Jeff, I love you, Jeff. I love you, Jeff. Really, really. Come on, man. I know he's already praying against me right now. Shut him up, Lord. Shut him up. That's my team. That's America's team. I know. Just shut him up. I feel you. Look, he got the horn over there ready to start just blowing that horn. Watch. Some things change when you start losing and you get other people involved. But what happened was, there was a decline. And some fans kind of fell away. But then you have some diehard fans that follow you. But are your fans really your friends? They don't really know you. But they act like they do just because they wear the number on their back on the jersey that has your name on it. You think, oh, that's your friend. No, I'm just a fan. Player don't even know who you are. See, sometimes in life we have fans in our life that are for you. And at times they become your foes when they're against you. Oh, wait a minute. Pastor, you started off with Twitter, Instagram, and I was about to follow you on your new technology. You had me there for a minute. See, it's easy when we're on a phone or we're on our laptop or an iPad or any kind of pads we have, and then someone requests to be your friend. It's easy to just reply with the number one, and it gets connected. Well, it's easy because you don't really have to go and talk to them to see if they really want to be your friend. Nobody want to help me. Pastor, where are you going with this? Sometimes we just select everybody to be our friends and we don't even know who they really are. Say something one time on there concerning your personal views or your spiritual views and watch how your friends unfriend you and become your foes at that very instant when they were once friends, right? Oh, we know how that is. We were a fan when you were doing good. When you start doing bad, well, start talking about you because, you know, it's all about your performance. It's all about what you say, how you say it. And then some of those real critics, the ones that kind of look at everything, how you misspell it. Because we start talking slang on there. And then the children that were on Facebook for quite some time, now they're not even on Facebook no more. It's all the older folks now that are on it now. We are real late with technology. Hey, make me a Facebook account. And none of the kids are on it no more because they know that now that you're on it, they don't want to be seen with what you're doing. So now they find all these other kind of apps to get on so that they don't. I don't want to get busted when I'm about to say. So that's why all the apps, the popularity of the apps change. Right? Kind of like how the popularity is on how to be a Christian. Because we don't want anybody to know our business. We don't want anybody to know what we're really like. Mm-hmm. When we start kind of putting on there, Jesus is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Ooh, that sounds good. Let's just post that. Yeah, let's just post. Jesus, I can't believe they wrote that. And that is Sister So-and-so from the church. I can't believe she wrote that. Unfriend. Or how about a Twitter account? I don't have one. I don't know how it works. I tweet whatever, hashtag this and hashtag that. But wait a minute. If you got people following you and you're just putting on there what you feel or what's inside your spirit, really, your head, and you put it out, and then you have all these kind of people see what you're writing on there, and then they'll either respond or not respond. And some of us get mad when they don't respond. We get all hurt and everything. I get rejected because I wrote something very nice and you didn't respond. Unfriend you. You ain't following you. I ain't going to. No.
What about the other one is Instagram? Take a picture. It's up instantly. I didn't want anybody to really see that one. How can I get it back? Once it's up, it's up. You don't think the enemy knows? You don't. Oh. Fans, foes, friends, and family. Every now and then, do you ever think that your family can become a fan? Can your family become a foe? Oh, see, y'all answered more to that one than anything else. Can your family become a friend? But can your fan, your foe, your friends become family? See, I told y'all, let me. Just teach us, Pastor. All right, I'm going to. All right. Martha, okay. We don't need it no more. Let's go over here to the last one. Last one. Maybe not. There we go. Welcome to the House of Manna. Okay, Martha, Mary, and Jesus. These are the characters in this particular story that is referenced here. But what I want to point out some things real quick to you is that if you read in the beginning of that very scripture, it says that as Jesus and who? His disciples were on the way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home. Right? Now, how many of you know that when you open up to a home to say, I just use my family as an example, Sundays is the day I call my mom. Mama! Thank you, Jesus. What you making today? Because we coming over. Or, watch this, or I open up my house. And mama comes. Daddy comes. Other family comes. Some friends come. Now, wouldn't it be wise that if I opened up my house or you've opened up your house, that it's not about the preparation as much as it is about the fellowship. Some of y'all are like, I don't know, because if I open it, I got to make sure everything's ready. And then I want to make sure the food is done before they get here. So everything's already ready. Placemats are set. The name cards are already on the places where they're going to sit. I want to make sure that all the silverware is already polished. You know how we are. Some of us are like Martha that gets everything ready before. Okay. Like Martha has to have things in order. Checklist. One, turn AC on 60. Bug spray in the backyard so no mosquitoes, no flies. Put the dogs in their kennel. Lock them up. Put the cat who knows where because it's a demon cat. Martha's go through a checklist. Now watch. Martha invited Jesus and the disciples in. But if you read on in this particular verse, you don't hear no more about the disciples. All you hear is, Jesus, come on in. Y'all miss, look. This is how we do. Jesus, andale, vente. Come on. ¿Cómo que Peter? John. Tú también, Matthew. Mira, I thought you left last week. Andale, pues. Get in there. Hey, Jesus, how many more? I only made enough for you. Are you missing it? See, when Martha invited Jesus in, she didn't realize that the whole entourage was coming. Now you can understand her stress. Because look, I already had everything ready for you because I was inviting you. But every time I invite you, you always have people come with you. Look, can I just tell you something? Every time you open your door and you put some meat on the grill, not the one person you invite is the only one coming over. People start to just show up on the scene with that person you invited. See, sometimes there's some things that are going to take place in your life when you invite Jesus in. Other people are going to come in with you and keep some accountability. See, because Jesus knows how to bring some things into your life because you need things to be brought into your life. Sometimes you need a Peter that will come in and say, I know you invited Jesus, but I'm coming to fight for you too. Don't forget that they all came in. And each one of the disciples had a way about themselves. They had a character about themselves. They also had a particular gift about themselves. When you invite Jesus in, it's never just Jesus.
Look.
What do you mean, Pastor? I just want Jesus in the whole. And Jesus. You're going to get Jesus? You're going to get the Holy Ghost. You're going to get the Father. You're going to get the ministering spirits of God. You're going to get the angels of God. You're going to get your help that's going to come in with him. See, but when you're only prepared to receive the one, God will also challenge you. What are you going to do when others come in with him? Now, Martha is like, oh, Lord, I only had a dozen at the tamales. Now they're all gone because I only made enough just for you. How? See, she didn't realize that Jesus already fed the multitude with the little boys. You know, how many of you send kids to school and they get those little Lunchables? That ain't even a meal. A couple of crackers, cheese, and I don't know what kind of real meat that is. I ain't never seen it. Because when I tried it one time, there was slime coming off every time I pick it up. Yeah, I'm talking for real. A Lunchable. Maybe they're missing this. I don't know if they're getting this. A Lunchable was brought to Jesus. A Lunchable. And Jesus multiplied it and fed thousands of people. Martha forgot about it. And she's so worried about getting everything done that needs to get done. I already have the pot boiling and I'm getting ready to put the beans on. But I don't only have enough for me and you. Can you just tell Mary to come over here and help me? And what he says, you worry about so much. But the one thing that Mary's doing will never be taken away from her. How many of you are Marthas in here? Raise your hand now. Come on, you know you are. You're task-oriented. I'm multitask too. I can do all kinds of things at one time, make sure that gets done on time. And if you need me to take some of your tasks, I'll take it too. Come on, there's some of y'all in there like that. Martha, stand up. Come on, Martha, be honest with yourself. Stand up. You can put your Bibles down. Martha, stand up. Come on, Martha's. All right, be honest with yourself. How many of you are task-oriented? Things have to be in order. Things have to get. Don't sit down yet. Come on, Martha's. Now, I want you to turn around and look at the Marys. Look at the Marys. You can't be both right now. Not right now. Now watch. Look at the Marys sitting around you. Look at the Marys. Some of y'all should be standing up because you know you're real Marthas. You know you are, but you... Come on. Because you got to have things right in order. And before I get home from work, I need all this checklist to be done. Come on. You know who you are. All right, Marthas. Thank you. You may be sitting. All the Marys, stand up. Marys. You can't stand up for both. Mary. Okay, we're married. No, you ain't both. Not yet. Mary. Okay, watch this. Marys, turn around and look at the Marthas. No, really turn around and look at them. There you go. Okay, now watch this. Now, here's the thing I want you to look. This is how the climate is in the church today. We have more people that are work-oriented, you may be saying, thank you, that are work and task-oriented in the church than we are worshipers in the church. Do you see that? Because we're so concerned about the timing. 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, and 11:30. So that this way, everything has to go in order to accomplish what needs to get done. But then we ask ourselves, did the Spirit of God get what needed to get done? Do you understand? Now, are y'all starting to see what I'm trying to tell you here? We can read a story and just look at the story. I mean, that's a cute story. I'm Mary. Let me give you some insight to just this particular scripture that I was looking at. Most of your Marys are very intimacy or centered. They're very intimate by nature, meaning that they don't have a problem being touchy-feely. Some of y'all are like, well, ain't no public affection going to happen from me. Mary, they don't care where they're at. Uh-huh. Are y'all starting to see this? Mary's, a type of a Mary is, come on, baby, you suck. That's my wife. Hey, let me make it real clear. Watch this. You know how many people say, that's the first lady? No, that's the only lady. That's it. There ain't no other. There ain't no imitation. And there ain't no duplication. There ain't no replication. Woo! I helped myself. This is the one that God had me give of my rib to her. For she can go ahead and cover my heart. Be strong enough to take the blows for me. Just trying to help somebody in here. Marys are the ones that are affectionate. They're the ones that know how to. Yes, baby. I know things ain't going good, but I love you anyhow. Marys are the type that go to the children. Give me a kiss before you go to school. I will chase you down into your classroom and I will get in front of your teacher and give me a kiss right now, boy. Yo, y'all starting to see this? How is the Martha? Martha, don't you come. There's people watching. Don't you? I try to go to my daughter, give me a kiss. Martha! You don't like the public affection. And I'm being very real with you, and that's for real. Watch this. And then at home, ain't nobody watching, just me here. Hannah, come give me a kiss. It ain't on my list. Mary's affectionate. Watch this. Woo! Hallelujah. They're compassionate. Mary's compassionate. The spirit of Mary will have you have feelings for others and the concern for others and their well-being. That's how Marys are. Okay? They're not so focused on the task that needs to be done, then we can do. Try to help some of you in here when you get into relationship or some of you that are in relationship. Sometimes affection with Marthas have to be scheduled. Yeah, that's truth. Laundry, dishes, chores, dinner. Somebody else do dishes tonight. I'm already tired. I gotta get my grocery list ready. And after grocery list, I gotta make the phone calls in response to the texts that I got. Follow up with prayer with the people that I need to get a hold of. About midnight, okay, maybe intimacy. Say it again. Too tired. Watch this. I'm making a point here. Marthas are more focused on putting everything in its position and its place, and intimacy is at the end. Do you understand? It's got to be scheduled. And I'm not saying that to be, okay, I'm just telling you the truth. That's how things are. It's no longer one of those things of passion. It's about things need to get done. There's a household to run. There's a business to run. There's a thing that we got to do. We got to run a church. We got to run a ministry. We got to do things. We got to raise the kids. You know what I mean? It's task-oriented. The Marys are more like, we'll get to it when we get to the list. But you want me?
Pues aquí estoy.
I'm just trying to help you. Jesus is about relationship. When they say that God is love and love is God, well, he's talking about if I'm going to make your spouse to come from your rib, that's the thing that's closest to your heart that she's going to protect. And why? Because she's going to protect the intimacy within the relationship. That's what Marys do. Marthas are the ones that guard the house, the vision. Now, do you see what I'm talking? They're both needed, but we spend more time on the Martha than we do on the Mary spirit. We both carry both. Andale, we both carry both. No, we carry both spirits within us. Okay, now watch. Now, Mary sat at Jesus' feet, correct? You read that. Now, back in this day, there wasn't a school system. If you were going to be taught, who would teach you? Say it again, sir. Rabbis. Who was Jesus known as? Rabbi. So what was happening here is that he allowed the student to come because he chose her to be a student. It's not like how I'm going to go to school and I'm going to go to that school and I'm going to lie by my address so I can go to that school. That was me too. That's a better school. They got better credentials. We're going to use my mom's address and we're going to send them over there. We all do it. Come on. We all do it. We want the best for our kids. Amen. Is that right? We want the best for our kids. We're going to lie about the address and get them to school there. And the next thing you know, you're going to go and register them because you choose to register them in that school. But back in that time, they didn't have a choice. It was up to the rabbis to choose who they were going to teach. Did he not choose the 12 disciples? He called them out of their workplace. You don't hear him calling Mary. Mary chose him to learn from the rabbi. And getting to the feet of the rabbi was a sign of humility, saying, I don't belong with them, but I belong here. In other words, I'm not trying to be like everybody else. I'm not trying to get in position with the other disciples. I'm not trying to jockey for Peter's position. I'm not trying to be like John the Beloved, the one that writes about himself saying he's the one that Jesus loved the most. I'm not trying to be that. I'm going to be Mary. I'm going to be the one that's at the feet, speaking to you only by spirit, not to be heard. Yeah, I think they missed it, Edwina. Because, see, many times people want to be the Mary, but they want to be heard. They want to be used. And they want to be elevated to a place of position. And the grateful position is to be low with Jesus. And this is during the time that Martha invited Jesus to come. She had every right to get upset at Mary. Because you know how we have some sisters in the church and some brothers in the church. Okay, in the family too. Something's going on and we need some help. I got to go pray about it. I got to go pray if that's the Lord's will for my life. Baby, I just asked you to just clean the toilet right now. That's all I asked you to do. There's a need in the house. Can you just clean the toilet? Well, that is not my ministry. Peter, where are you? Can you cut that ear off over here? They don't want to listen to me anyhow. I think that's why Jesus kept Peter around. He says, you know what, Peter? I'm going to choose you. You're a little crazy. You're a little thrown. You just out there. I need you. Yeah, I need you. Because some of these people that I have to serve, because Jesus came to serve, they go crazy with me. They got to pray about it. There's a need. If there's a need, you give to the need. Right? If you see someone that is in need of food, you give them food. You help them. But what we have in the church today, people say, that's not on my agenda to do. That's not what God called me. That's not my anointing. That's not my ministry. Let me pray about it. You don't pray your way out of your own blessing. Out of your own blessing. Mary knew that if she could just get there, she'd begin to learn from the rabbi directly. Not by serving, but just listening, sitting, waiting in true humility. Martha had every right to be upset. Every right. Watch what happens to a Martha. Martha. Martha's are task-oriented, always working. They're always inviting because they're always willing to do the work. Martha is like the Martha Stewart. Look at how I did all these doilies for you. These origamis. And look at how I prepared this for you. I'll tell you the preparation that it took to make it. I'll tell you that how long you've got to prepare it in the oven for. I'll tell you everything you need to know. And Jesus probably said, I'm good. But what does the Martha Stewarts in your life do? They go step by step and tell you everything. I'm just going to go out there with this one because some of y'all know some Martha Stewarts in your life. I ain't talking about the decorating Martha Stewart. I'm talking about the Martha Stewart that when they tell you something they got to tell you, they go through every single detail, but they never get to the point. They're more interested on the detail of the thing surrounding the point, but never get to the point. And you're like, can you get to the point? Don't tell me you had a dream and don't tell me what the dream really, really is and tell me everything about the purple rock that was onto the left side underneath the trash can on the right, because then the people were wearing black and they had stripes that you could barely see them, but they had stripes and they went, ah, what is the point of your dream? Oh, yeah. I forgot. Because they get lost in the details. Don't get me wrong. There's sometimes that God is speaking to you. He wants you to pay attention to the details. But the Marthas that we have in our life sometimes are in the church. They're so caught up with the details, they get very critical. They get critical. I don't like church because they got stains on their carpet. But you don't want to tell them that it was your coffee that you spilled. You don't want to tell them it was your kids that dropped that Kool-Aid. But you're critical on how the appearance of the church is. You don't want to tell them how you don't like the way that how things are going on. The church thinks should be more in order and things. But you ain't showing up on time. See, what happens is Marthas get critical on the details. And it takes away from the passion or the compassion towards the effort that Marys are putting in. You understand? You're like, Pastor, that's not in the Bible. Okay, it's in you. Marthas are so focused on the time that time is of the essence. Everything has a place in its schedule, but not for anything to be spontaneous. Okay, let's go back to the church. We know there's many churches, I said this last week, there's many churches that have 1 hour services. And I said it out of the same service. They're needed. They're needed because you have to know the level of the church that you govern. There is a mandate and a call or an anointing over the church, which is called the messenger, the angel of the church. The angel of the church has an anointing and a mandate to do a specific call. So some of those churches, they're needed. Not all of them, but they're needed. My question that I've always posed to God is, where are you in that time slot? If we can do it here in 1 hour, Lord, teach me the way. Be honest, right? Because we want God to show up and do what he needs to do and let us be done with our day. We can go on because it's the Sabbath day. It's Sunday. We need to go rest. We need to go eat. We need to go take some time with our family and friends. And people say, that's why I don't go to church, because it's my only day off. That's the thing. And I'll just watch it on TV, listen to a podcast, whatever the case may be. Hey, get God however you can get God. But every now and then you need to get to church. Right? Is there a way that I can do things differently so that we can make it conducive for people to come within that hour? I'll do gladly do it, God. I'll shut down the prophetic. I won't speak to nobody prophetically. We'll just play two songs and we'll get on to the message. We're gone. Have a donut on the way out. God bless you. Next. And that's when God said, no. They're needed, you're needed, others are needed. So then what happens with the Martha type of church is everything has to be in its place the way they see it. So that the more we can get through the turnstiles, you know, those click, 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 click. You'll never, ever see a clicker in my hand or any of my ministers on how many people come to the church. I made it clear to our iron sharpens iron. Every individual that has ever stepped through these doors have access to my personal cell and my wife's personal cell. Every single person. It's up to you to take that initiative. You mean I can call you? Yeah, you can call me. I'll answer. My wife will answer. If you need prayer, guess what? We'll pray with you. Call me 3 days in a row for the same prayer, we ain't going to pray for you. We're going to teach you, get on your face and start doing your part. We have prayer lines. People that pray for you. There's access, but you have to make the initiative to do it. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have your cell phone number. You know that number that is on our website? You know the number that is on the handouts back there? You know the handouts that have been the same stack, the same amount that have been there all along? Josh, get up and help me, sir, because it's getting a little thick in here. See, I take notice on things, and maybe that's wrong of me. We've had these cards, the same amount of cards at the front. The same amount. I didn't see no one pick them up and hand them out. Well, I don't have your number. Should I go and put it in your phone for you too? The number is 888-779-6009. When you call this number, it'll give you access to the pastor of this house, my wife, the other pastor of this house. It'll give you access to a prayer line if you need prayer. But if you don't pick up the initiative and do it yourself, don't be getting mad that nobody reached out to you. See, Mary reached to Jesus. Who got mad? Martha. And what I'm trying to tell you is that we need a Mary and Martha in a church. We're both. There's a time that we got to do things in its timing, and then there's a place that we've got to put Jesus first. He instituted that at the very beginning of time in Genesis 1:5. He says, in the evening and day were one day. He says, evening first. I know there's children in here. Most children came because of intimacy. Reproduction comes because of intimacy. If you want to see God in your life, it comes because of intimacy with Him. Mary chose the place of intimacy, getting beneath being seen, and got at the feet of Jesus in front of everybody, and didn't care how many people there of authority or position were watching. Because it was not proper for a woman to get near the rabbi. Yeah, I missed that, because you know how the church teaches it? If there's a woman next to a man, you better make sure there's another woman. There was a woman there that was called Martha. And Martha was so busy about cooking all the cupcakes and all the cakes that needed to be done. And Mary said, I'm going to be right here and I'm going to take of this that comes from Jesus. I may not be seen, I may not be heard, but I'm going to receive what Jesus has for me. And when I receive what He has for me, Martha, I'm going to get back up there and help you. But watch what He says. This is what He says. Martha, Martha. That's a term of endearment. Jesus is saying, you're not just a fan. You're not a foe to me. I'm doing my ministry that God has called me to do. My Father's told me to do. And I have some fans out there. And I got a lot of foes that come along with it. I have very little friends because not everybody can be in my circle. So that when I come into the presence of my friends, it ain't time to work. It's time to fellowship. And the fellowship is not about how much you know of the Bible, how much you know about what God is doing. It's about fellowshipping with me. You know that most ministries, the pastors don't have many friends. They have associates or they have acquaintances. People that they know of or they know about them, but they don't really know them intimately. In other words, I can call on a friend that was still closer to me than my own brother. See, I will lay down my life for you and your family because you're my friend. And a friend can be a part of the family because they carry the same interest about you and your well-being. They carry that same type of Mary anointing. They're compassionate about you, not vision, about you. They care about you. They value you. And there's some friends that can come into your life that will value you, but there's some friends that shouldn't even be around you because you chose them. But you get some friends that come around you and they start leading you away from the things that God wanted you to do. It's to be humble, to be at the feet of Jesus and to do the things that God called you to do. But you get influences in your life and those friends become your foes and they start taking you away. But a real friend is after your well-being. It's not going to hurt you. It's going to do things to help you become better and not bitter and mad and to get mad at Jesus. Martha got mad. Do you not care, Jesus? That's what happens to a Martha when things don't happen the way they're supposed to happen. And Martha's expectations, now she gets mad at Jesus. That's what happens with Martha's when they don't get what they want when they want it. It didn't happen when it was supposed to happen. That's your fault, Jesus. I invited you in and you still didn't do what you were supposed to do. Come on, praise him. Just come on, praise him. Jesus, I invited you to my home, my personal space. My personal space. I invited you into my home, Jesus, and you ain't done what you're supposed to. You choose someone that is not doing anything but just sitting at your feet. But I invited you in. Martha got mad at God. And tells Jesus, you don't care, do you? How many of us get to that point in our life that we get mad because things don't happen? You don't care about me. You left me for dead out here. You left me out here just begging on the streets. You don't really care about me. You get mad. I've been going through all kinds of sickness and you don't even care to heal me. Even though you invited Jesus in, he said, wait a minute. There's some things you got to process and work out yourself. There's some things you got to change. There's some attitude adjustments that need to take place. There's a way that you gotta see something. You gotta quit getting mad every single time because they didn't hear you the first time, and then you get mad on the way you respond, and then you get real bitter in the way you respond to the one that the Mary that God sent you. You get all mad, and what happens with that is that you get bitter, and you start taking out on the Mary that God sent you. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were Jesus' friends. Jesus did not go to an In-N-Out burger to eat. He didn't go to a Whataburger to eat. He would go to Mary, Martha's, and Lazarus' house to fellowship and eat. When you find that Jesus went into that certain place, he was at their house. Why? They were friends. Jesus didn't have friends. He had disciples that he loved. But they didn't love him in regards until he was taken away. You don't hear me. You don't realize what you got until it's taken away. Until you don't have it no more. And when it's gone, then you realize there was something worth for me to have passion over. You lose some things in your life. But God is saying, if you only realize you had me only for a little while, you would have realized you chose to do the right thing, the better thing that will never be taken away. Talking about the story of Mary and Martha. He knew that he was only going to be there for a little while. All he wanted to do was fellowship. All Martha wanted to do was feed. He says, don't you know that I'm the bread of life? I'm the bread of heaven that is sent down for you. In the times of your heartaches, in the times of your trials, I'm sent for you. And I came to sit and to sup with you. Get so focused on the works, the performance, and what people think. Just get to the presence of God in worship like Mary worshiped, that no one could move her out of that place, not even those that were watching. Just be still and know that I am God. And know that when you're in my presence, I'll remove all sorts of distractions. But you've got to understand one thing, is that Jesus wants relationship with you. That he even says that friends, they're closer than a brother. But your friends can become family. Your friends can become family in your life if you allow them to, if you just get rid of the biasness on how they're supposed to act or your expectations of them in this relationship. You will hold expectations in a relationship that they'll never be able to accomplish, and you'll get bitter at them, and they know not even why you're mad at them. Because the expectation that you had wasn't met, but they never knew your expectation. Let's bring it back into the church now. Jesus' only expectation of the church is to gather, to be unified in love. He'll demonstrate power. It's not through your power. It's not through your might. It's not by your strength. It's by his spirit that he demonstrates power. And if you understand that, that's where he wants the church, is to be in a place of intimacy with him. I ask you again today, are you a Mary? Are you a Martha? Ask yourself that before you leave today. Am I a Mary that really wants to be intimate with Jesus? Or am I a Martha that wants to do the works for Jesus? The works don't get you saved. Being saved makes you want to work. Because of gratitude and understanding for what he's already done. You decide for yourself. Can you be both? Yes, and it's hard. It's hard. Because I guarantee you this, if you've been a Martha and you're going to try to be a Mary, you will begin to minimize the Mary moments and begin to schedule those Mary moments. The original Sabbath day was so that we can have rest, fellowship, and time with the Lord. And your days start at night. 12 a.m. is the beginning of a new day. Why do you think that the most demonic forces and activity come at the very beginning of the day? We call it night. Because he's going to wreck the rest of your day. His plans are to come to destroy you and kill your plan. Jesus instituted for us the first day of the week to be Sunday. We think this is the end of the week. No, this is the beginning of the week that's going to determine how the rest of your week's going to be. Why do you think the enemy says, let's just keep him out of church? Because if we can keep him out of church, we have the rest of the week. If we can keep him out of God's presence, we got him the rest of the week. Don't worry, because when Wednesday comes around, oh, I'll put something extra. Because you know what happens on Wednesday? It's working women's Wednesday. You know, they got all kinds of happy hour. You know, the hors d'oeuvres and the appetizers are half off, if not only free. Drink specials are more on Wednesdays than they are any other day. Look at what the enemy is doing. You know, radio stations know how to get people into clubs. Some of y'all don't want to agree? Right? They know how to work it. They even have people that go out and they sell. Guess what we're going to do? We're going to come and we're going to broadcast live for free at your place. For free. All you need to do is drop your prices on certain amount of drinks that you have, and then we'll get the people to come in. Guess where they're leaving from? Church. They don't want to. We think that going to the club is going to take away our problems. We think going to the club is going to make things feel a little bit better. It may for a moment. But wake up the next day from dancing all night long and having too much of what you shouldn't have been having. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to be praying, all right. Lord, I'll never do this again. But next week. Y'all act like y'all been saved your whole life. And if you have, amen, hallelujah, bless God. I know that there's some real folks out there that need a real Jesus. They need a real Jesus that will meet them wherever they're at. So that a Martha is not judging them and being critical about where they've been, where they're at, and where they're going. Marys are more concerned about the quality that they will get with Jesus. That's what we need. That's what we need. Amen. Can the Marys and the Marthas stand, please, if you would? Your eyes close if you will, please. And I want you to focus not on the checklist, not on whether you're the Mary or the Martha. I want you to focus right now at this very moment, the feet of Jesus. So I want you to focus. You'll see the dirt from the dust that are on his feet because he's traveled over many miles for you to spread his good news. You will see the sandals that he latched were made out of leather, that there was a sacrifice just for the sandals, just for him. And that you will see that they were strapped around his feet, and you'll begin to see that what he did is traveled across many, many lands just for you. That he walked unto you and he came to you. So that this way you can see that he made a great sacrifice. There wasn't a distraction, though many came. He was focused on the purpose that his Father sent him to do. It's to go to the cross. And it was an old, rugged cross. It wasn't new, it wasn't polished. It was rugged. He was never looking for an instrument that was perfect or polished. He was looking for the one that was willing. And he came walking unto you. To help you to change your mindset, your ways, and to change the very life that you live right now. No, he's not going to change the way you do things. He's going to change the way you see things. So that you have an understanding that he came for you. I want you to picture the feet of Jesus. Because Jesus is walking in your direction right now. And when he arrives at your very place of intimacy, learn to sit at his feet. Don't seek his hand or his face. Seek the feet of Jesus, because that's a place where he can begin to pour out to you what you need when you need it. Father, right now, as every eye is closed, every head is bowed, I thank you right now for each and every individual in this house. And I thank you for the families that are represented with them, Father, that are connected to them. I thank you that the very feet of Jesus are walking in their direction and entering into their home, Lord, a place of intimacy, a place, Father God, that you can begin to pour out into them as they will take the time, Father, and schedule you first to be the priority and to put you back into position as first in their life. Not to be a religious sect, a religious organization, but to be a relational people that hold Jesus dear to their heart. That they're compassionate and passionate for the people of God. To help them, to build them up, to encourage them, and to bless them. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, under the authority of the Holy Spirit, I speak a blessing over their life, in their life, and for their life. I speak, Father God, a sense of intimacy like never before with you. Holy Spirit, guide them in all truth in your word. Guide them in all truth in your presence, God.
Let not every strange and wicked thing enter into their mind, but let the Spirit of the living God be the wind that will guide them to the next place of their destiny, God. I bless them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet with the power and the presence of Jesus in their very life. And those in their family that have strayed away from you, Father, let this be the great awakening, Father, of a return of the children unto the fathers and the mothers and fathers returning back unto you, God. Let this be that season, Father God, where the prodigals are coming home. The prodigals are coming home. Father, I thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Can we get the envelopes passed out, please? We're going to break and we're going to end the service here in a minute. Praise team, you may be seated. Thank you very much. I thank you. As they're handing out the envelopes, I want you to be obedient to the Spirit of God. Be obedient. Your giving, watch this. Your giving is your seed, right? What you have in your hand or what you have in your possession is what? Your harvest. So if you're asking for greater harvest, what do you got to do? You've got to sow. You've got to sow. Say, well, that, you know, the sowing is Old Testament. No, it's not. Jesus even said, you robbed me. New Testament says, how? With your tithes and your offering. You should want to be giving unto God. Well, I didn't bring any money. Don't worry. You can see David in the back. We have PayPal back there, and you can go ahead and make a donation with your credit card. What is it for? It is for the furthering the kingdom of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We brought back the donuts and the juice and the coffee because I said that I wouldn't bring it back until we got to a new place. And this is me, my checklist. Martha got involved, said, I got to clean the chairs. I got to clean the carpet. I got to make sure that we have all the napkins. And I got to make sure that we have fresh linen back there. Lord, I want this. I don't want it no more. He says, what you crying for? You're the one that instituted it. Where's the screen? I'm going to hide from God. But I realized something, is that what this does, it's like God communing with you. Remember I said a couple weeks ago, that's your bread? Your show bread? That's a table of show bread? Go get your bread on the way out. Amen? Get your coffee, get your drinks. It's if anything that we can do just to say thank you as a church that we love you, we're family. We're family. Are we not? Family? We're friends becoming family in the family of God. Amen. When you're ready to give your seed, I want you to come give your seed. I'm going to pray, but don't leave the altar. Come drop your seed and stay at the altar. Everybody, okay? On the way out, you can get your donuts and coffee, but everybody stay at the altar. We're going to pray over the seed together as family. Amen. You ready? Y'all ready to sow? Are you Y'all should be so eager to sow. Your harvest is coming. You ready? You ready to sow? Are you ready to sow?
Yes.
You ready for your harvest?
Yes.
Are we family?
Yes.
Well, come on and sow. Turn it up. Man.